The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Okay, I totally admit it's very, very difficult to get through today's show. I'm already unbelievably nervous. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
What are you nervous about, I ask rhetorically?
Today, I mean, it's today. I mean, this is, oh my gosh. I mean, I just,
You're talking about the bracket, of course.
The weight of the bracket, the angst of, like, the thing that happened to Dayton the last two nights. There were four games in the last two nights in Dayton. One was officiated well. So, like what ref is going to screw up your bracket? Yes, they have no idea what they're doing.
Or and, coach, for that matter.
Oh, my gosh. I'm still so fired up at New Mexico losing to Harvard when all Harvard can do all year is shoot threes, and Steve Alford decides, you know what, let's mix it up and not defend. We're going to stay in a zone and not defend the three-point line.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am not attacking coaches by any way, shape, or form.
It was one of the greatest days in ASU history when UCLA said, you know what, Steve Alford, you're a good coach.
Steve had something. There had to be a reason why he did what
he did. Oh, my gosh. Harvard shoots threes. Let's sit in a zone and watch him shoot threes.
There had to be a reason why he went with the zone.
There had to be
a reason why Steve Alford, who knows so much about basketball, did what he did.
And then they went crazy. They said, you know what? This isn't working. We'll go to man. And then they went under the screens. What's the difference?
Here's the one part about it, Basinonians. I can't stand myself this time of year. And the reason why I can't stand myself, and we all know what's coming right now, right? Screaming at the television with your arms wide open, right? Because some 18-year-old kid can't shoot a free throw. This is why I despise myself. The self-loathing that goes on. Yelling at an 18-year-old kid because he can't inbound a ball. I mean, right? And the kid messes up your bracket and you're incensed because of it.
But the one thing about you...
You gotta be kidding me.
The one thing about you that makes this tournament so much easier is when you go 100% straight analytics.
Yeah, right.
There's no personal investment.
No, that I know. That's one of the reasons why I do it.
Yeah?
There is no personal investment whatsoever. Take myself out of the equation. It still doesn't mean that when you're competing with everyone else with your bracket, once you fill that bracket out, your life has changed for the month of March. It has completely changed. You fill that bracket out right there. What you're basically saying is I'm better than you are, and you watch this right here. Even though I went straight BPI, it took somebody making a decision to say, I'm going to go straight BPI. I'm going to remove myself from the equation, right? And then suddenly, there it is. Some kid is messing up your bracket, and it drives you nuts. Admit it.
Now, today on the Doug and Wolf Show, We're going to do something a little crazy today. As if you haven't signed up yet, the Bracket Boss Challenge at ArizonaSports.com. Maloney, do you know, and I admit I don't know, was the deadline last night at midnight, or does it last until before the first tip-off? Is it already over?
The deadline to put your bracket?
Yeah.
Well, the deadline was supposed to be Tuesday, but we extended it for you. So last night.
But I mean, like, for listeners.
No, I think it's open until tip off of that 9:15 game.
Okay. The reason why I asked that is today, before tip off, we're going to have almost every member of the Bracket Boss Challenge. This year it's different.
Really?
This year, for the first time, we're on Gambo's team. We are friends with Bickley and Murata. We're all in this together, and we compete against some former athletes around town.
Okay, let's face it.
We're going to have most of those athletes on. Lorenzo Alexander.
Oh!
Gonzo. Donor.
Zoe and Gonzo.
Jay Feely, Max Starks, Eddie House, and at 9:30, Carson Palmer. So we've got almost all of our Bracket Boss competitors coming on to challenge their brackets this morning.
Boy, that'd be a great show right there, would it not, Basin Onions?
Well, that's what the plan is
Zoe
for today.
Zoe and Gonzo.
Yeah.
Zoe and Gonzo show. Just stop it. This time of year, man, it just messes y'all up, right? It does. Not only because you're screaming at 18-year-old kids, but just because the desperation that these kids play these games with when you watch it, right? It just fills you with this hope that somehow, some way, we're going to be better. We're going to be better down the stretch. We're going to be better in the future just watching the desperation in which these kids play these games. You only see it once a year, and it's in the month of March, isn't it? The effort on the defensive end, the bend in the knees these kids are showing, the ready hands, the screens that are being set, finding a man and actually blocking out with intent. The reality of one and done. We see this brand of basketball, ladies and gentlemen, once a year, and it's in March. And it's happening right now. You just watch the game and the way these kids are playing with desperation.
The look on Kurt Warner's face when Texas A&M scored like 12 points in 45 seconds to come back against Northern Iowa that one year. I don't remember when that was. It was about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, something like that.
Graybeard, you want to call in? You know what? Honestly, we'll take your call. The bat signal goes out to Kurt Warner this morning. But you just got carte blanche. You and Jay Feely, just call in whenever you want.
Sorry for
it's
bringing that up.
For
Kurt.
Your Arizona Sports Starting Five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
Feeling weird this morning,
Vince. Jeff Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Good morning, Vince.
Number five
this morning, Vince, is the actual beginning of the NCAA tournament. We'll keep you updated. Maloney will have constant updates throughout the morning. It starts at 9:15 this morning, and the first game has one of the best storylines of any game, and that is Minnesota's up against Louisville. It's a 10-7 game, and if you don't know the backstory, that story is Louisville fired Rick Pitino. He left and went to become a Greek coach in the Greek Professional League. Then, now that he saw that his son, the head coach at Minnesota, is coaching against the school that fired him, he came back. He's working with Richard Pitino as an advanced scout to tell him everything about Louisville so they can get ready to beat his former employer.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, good safety tip right there. Rick Pitino went Greek. Interesting.
Number four
this morning is kind of something that is getting me fired up this weekend, if you haven't seen. This weekend's schedule of games, both Thursday and Saturday, it is loaded for the NHL, for the teams that are battling for the playoff spot. Tonight, the Coyotes are at Florida. Faceoff is at 4 o'clock. You can hear that game on on ESPN 620 AM. And then they've got a back-to-back Saturday and Sunday. Vancouver won last night, so now Vancouver's kind of back into the mix as they're only 4 points back of the Coyotes.
I predict a slow start for the Coyotes. Let's hope they finish strong.
Three road games on this trip left for the Coyotes, and a weird scheduling quirk over the weekend. Chicago and Colorado have a home and home. They're going up against each other, so somebody could eliminate the other one. Hopefully, they'll both win one of those games and just stumble on each other.
Boy, that's brutal.
Number three
this morning, Gambo, please tell me you were joking. Gambo with a tweet. The Suns are meeting with former BYU star Jimmer Fredette tomorrow. He sent that yesterday, so therefore today could sign for the remainder of the season.
Let the fireworks begin.
Oh my God! I think the Suns are trying to get into the NCAA tournament, and that's why they're doing that.
Number two.
We're 5 weeks from the NFL draft, and all of a sudden, everybody wants to talk Joey Bosa.
If he's not the first overall pick by Arizona, then yeah. San Francisco is meeting with tonight. I think he'll be the second overall pick. All five of the teams in the top five need edge rushers.
They need edge rushers, of course, right? And Nick Bosa is a guy that does come off the edge.
Oh, you just said Nick. I think I said Joey.
I wonder if he's got a... Did I say...
No, you said you got it right. I said Joey.
What are you doing? I'm trying to broadcast.
I didn't realize I said Joey until you said Nick.
What are you interrupting me for? You're the one who messed it up.
I was saluting that you got it right.
All right. I wanted to say I don't think...
You were going to say they both get hurt, so it doesn't matter.
First step. I don't think he has an elite first step.
That's because he rips his groin when he uses an elite first step.
I said I don't think he has an elite. Take the cue.
Number one.
Fine. If you're going to be like that, then you get the boring one.
Oh, my goodness.
And number one.
I'm going to say we didn't pack for just one game. We're really locked in. We're really focused. And obviously, this is a big step in the right direction. But we're not content by any means. We're hungry for more.
How often in your life do you dream to say the words, "We're on to Tulsa"? ASU gets to say that. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Thanks for listening to Doug and Wolf this morning. I don't know whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, but we're very excited about this. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
If you just woke up or just tuned in the previous beautiful part of the program, we were talking about the NCAA tournament and just how nervous I get, how funny Wolf gets yelling at children. I should say young kids, young men,
yes,
in the NCAA tournament.
Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah, kick save and a beauty.
Appreciate
right there.
That.
Of the watching the tournament. And then I brought up just how crazy it can get, what it could do to your bracket, and an epic meltdown by Northern Iowa. And the look on Kurt Warner's face while he was watching the game. And Wolf said, "Kurt, call in." So right now on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line, Kurt has called in, and I don't know whether he called in to blast me for bringing up that pain or to, hey, just honor Wolf. Wolf said call in. He called in. Kurt, good morning. How you feeling?
I'm good. How are you guys doing? Good.
Doing great, Kurt. So how many miles have you already put in? How many miles have you logged on the treadmill this morning?
Well, actually, I'm just driving. Dropped my son off at a little football practice this morning. So heading home to get that workout in here in a few minutes. So on the road. So heard you guys talking and bringing up some bad memories. So I thought I'd call in. But it is what we love about March Madness, because, I mean, you're talking about the meltdown and how they lost that game to Texas A&M. In the first game or the first round, they hit a buzzer beater from half court to win and advance to that game. But that's exactly what the tournament's all about. Is you never really know, and it comes down to the end, and you got to play for 40 minutes.
Kurt, are there any traditions at the Warner compound? I mean, are there any traditions this time of year? What are they?
Not a lot now that, you know, we got so many kids in different directions.
Yeah.
You know, so not everybody's around during March Madness, but there's no question that, you know, we always do the family pool. So everybody's trying to see, even though I got to say I don't watch much college basketball with everything else going on. But we always do a pool so we can kind of stay connected that way. And we're always talking about the games and watching it. I mean, there's just no better event. You know, that progresses and, you know, your bracket can be busted in one game and so much talk about it. So we do all of that, but usually my boys are the athletes in the family. So whenever they're around, we're locked in front of the TV and watching games all day long. I think like everybody else that has the ability to do that.
Now, since I brought up the Texas A&M game and the meltdown, do you want a minute to reminisce about and look at my screen, Wolf? It's not in front of me because I still remember Farouk Manesh and that crazy three that he made against KU.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember that like it was yesterday, how big that was to beat Kansas. And then back when I was in school, I want to say it was 91. You and I knocked off Missouri.
You know,
who was a high seed back then too. So we've had some good moments in the tournament, but as you mentioned it, you know, that Texas A&M game kind of reminded me of the Super Bowl against the Patriots and against Atlanta, where you kind of just thought, well, all we need is one thing to go our direction. If one thing goes our direction because of where we're at here, we win this game. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like everything went against us. And then the epic comeback by Texas A&M and how disappointing that was for our guys.
Kurt, how many games do you watch? I mean, do you enjoy watching the games? Do you watch the games and enjoy the brand of basketball that's being played? How many games do you watch?
Yeah, I watch as many as I can, you know, and again, I think it's as much about the basketball, but I think it's even more just about the stories. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's one thing that, you know, March Madness does so well is tell the different stories of different guys. And because I don't watch a lot of college basketball throughout the year, I don't get to know those stories. And, you know, whether it's about coaches and coaches coaching their sons, or my wife was telling me about some twins that are playing on, I think, on the same team in the tournament. And so, you know, it's those kinds of things that you love about sports, is it, you know, it humanizes everybody and, you know, reaches in and touches on stories that you would never have heard about otherwise, because you're not watching all these teams play. And so I do, you know, no matter what I'm doing, I'm going to head in to work out. And even though they haven't started yet, usually, you know, the games are just on. You know, you just put them on and you watch whatever's going on. And if you have a background with any of the teams, you're trying to bounce to that station and see it. But it'll be on all day, even when I'm running around with my grandkids later, or I'm working out, or whatever may be going on.
Well, who's your Final Four?
I have no idea. I just pulled it up after you guys said that, because, like I said, there's a couple family brackets. One, my extended family, my brother sent me one, and then my son sent me one. So I'm just jumping on to see. You know, I have no idea right now. Liked what Michigan State did the other day in the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Duke, I'm a big Duke fan. I've always been a Duke fan from the time growing up. So I'm sure they'll advance quite far in my bracket. But as I said, I haven't watched but two or three games maybe this past weekend. So I don't know. So it's kind of a crapshoot like everybody else. But you hope in that some people can watch every game and they don't do very well, or you cannot watch any games and you can do well, and that's the beautiful part of it.
You know, for me, I go straight BPI. I don't know if you cared about that, Kurt.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah, straight BPI.
Board?
No, but
that's so boring. Isn't
Kurt,
it boring,
listen to this.
Kurt?
First of all, I remove myself from the equation, all right? I take all emotion out of the game. I go straight BPI, remove myself from the equation, and then I also have somebody to blame if, in fact, my bracket blows up.
But what fun is that? The best part of the whole bracket is being able to call an upset, you know, or being able to pick that one team, you know, that gets to the Sweet 16 that nobody expected.
Kurt,
I mean, not just to go, I mean, come on.
Kurt, I mean, don't you have to watch basketball? Don't you have to watch college basketball to be able to call an upset? Don't you need to be able to do that?
But nobody really cares if you watch it or not. If you pick it, you can brag about it on you know, on the air or in the house or whatever. Oh, I knew it was
coming. I'm surprised.
I knew that one was coming.
Right. I'm surprised you don't have the humility to go with one metric. To go with one metric and just say, I'm going to remove myself from the equation.
Like I said, the only reason I watch it is because of the emotion of it. So I don't want to remove myself. I want the emotion that goes with it.
Amen.
You know, and that can be the heartbreak, or that can be the jubilation of getting one right, or, you know, one of your top seeds getting knocked off. That's the beautiful part of it.
Amen. What do you know of Kyler Murray this morning? Do you know anything of Kyler Murray this morning? Can
you know
go ahead and break down Kyler Murray for us? Do you mind doing
that? I think he's putting together his bracket right now, and I think he's picking a lot of upsets at this point. But he's going to enjoy his basketball because he's got 5 weeks before he's got to worry about anything else.
So you don't even want to comment on Kyler Murray. Is that what you're saying right now? Kurt, are you tired of talking about Kyler Murray? Are you tired of it?
I mean, I'm not tired of it. I mean, I love the game. And once again, you know, all the drama of the draft. I mean, that's the cool thing about the NFL, is that it's 365. You know, there's always something going on, you know, whether it's pro days. You know, watch it, Dwayne Haskins yesterday, or the speculation on what's going to happen with the Cardinals and Kyler Murray, and, you know, Bosa there yesterday, which kind of puts him back in the forefront, and, you know, how talented he is. You know, and that's the beautiful part, again, is that there's always something going on. So I'm not tired of talking about it.
But
I'm just excited to see how it all plays out. And, you know, at the end of the day, you want the best situation for everybody. What's best for the Cardinals? You know, and you know, and I'm looking forward. You don't get the number one pick in the draft very often.
Mm-hmm.
And so you better make sure that you're building a team that can be successful. And there's a lot of different ways to look at it. So I'm excited to see how it all plays out.
NFL Hall of Famer Kurt Warner joining Doug and Wolf. What would be, if you were sitting with him or Haskins or anybody, but what's the best way to evaluate a quarterback when they're with you? You know, not I realize just you sitting with film would be the best, but what would be the questions if the Cardinals said, hey, Kurt, you're our quarterback consultant for this draft. You sit with Kyler Murray in the interview room and you've got the projector. What are you doing with him? What are you asking him?
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple things that I would look at. I mean, first and foremost, that's one thing I don't get to do in this process very often is sit down in a room and really talk football with these guys. Mm. You know, and again, it's still limited when you put a guy on the board and, you know, you break down stuff. A lot of guys can tell you what to do on a board. Can they translate that in 3.5-4 seconds with guys running at you? That becomes the next part. But I always want to know that. I want to know what your answers are to a particular play and a particular coverage. And what if they do this? Do you have the answers there? And then I would probably sit down and watch some film of negative plays that these players had. And I want to hear why. You know, tell me why you made that decision. You know, tell me, and, you know, I think you have all kinds of different ways people could go. Well, you know, I didn't really like the play call, or, oh, this guy was supposed to do that, or, hey, I just made a bad decision. I saw this, I saw that. But I want to hear the accountability of these guys, because I think that's so important when you get to the NFL level, is when you're leading men and you go out and you don't play well. Mm-hmm. You know, you make mistakes. How do you own that? You know, how do you get better from that? And again, all the stuff is limited that you get with a guy in a room. But those are the kinds of things, because I'm thinking of a leader. And I'm going, okay, what kind of leader do I want in that huddle? Yep. And I want one that's willing to take accountability for his actions, that's willing to learn from his actions and grow from those things. And so, you know, it's questions like that to me that I think tell a big story on who guys are and who guys are when things go against them. Because mm-hmm. you guys know, in the NFL, it ain't all going to be, you know, roses mm-hmm. and unicorns. You know, mm-hmm. you're going to have some moments where it goes against you and guys are looking at you in the huddle going, okay, now what? And I want to know what kind of guy I have in that type of situation.
Graybeard, you got a free pass on this show. You know that, right? You call in anytime you want, man. Thank you so much.
That was awesome, Kurt.
All right, guys, enjoy the brackets. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Absolutely. Right on, there's Kurt Warner joining us. Hall of Fame quarterback just calling in out of nowhere because Wolf says, get Kurt on. Thanks to him for coming on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next, all right, bracket boss competition. Zoe, who you got in your Final Four? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hello, friends. Bracket Boss 2019. Pros versus hosts.
This is how this is going today. As Lorenzo Alexander has just called into the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line.
So, ladies and gentlemen.
As he looks through his bracket and cannot find his Cal Bears anywhere on this bracket, and he still decides, you know what? I'm putting up my bracket, and I'm going to hang with Doug and Wolf and Burns and Gambo, Bickley and Murata, Paul Calvisi. So who do you have your eyes set on the most in this group?
My name. If you're going to call me by my name, get it right. As Dave Chappelle once said, my name is now the Black Nostradamus. Predicting the future. My bracket is going to go all the way. I'm going to dominate everybody in there. But, you know, I see you threw shots at my Cal Bears. ASU was going down to my UB.
Look at that.
So they extended their demise. They about to get ran out the gym here. When they play tonight, I believe.
Tomorrow night.
Yep. So it should be. It's going to go down.
That game is Friday at 1 o'clock. You can hear it right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Buffalo, the Buffalo Bulls, not the Bills, the Buffalo Bulls up against ASU as now the newest homer of all time for the Buffalo Bulls, Lorenzo Alexander.
Wow, homer over time. Yeah, we've been playing some great ball. Got some old guys, you know, some seniors out there. We're about to run it. I got them going to the Elite Eight, by the way, too, you know, so.
Wow.
I think they're going to surprise a lot of people the way they've been playing. They just have that. They have a lot of grit up here.
Texas Tech and Michigan, very good.
Right.
And that's a gutsy pick.
Zo, are you here?
Yeah.
Are you here in the basin or are you up in the park?
I'm up in the park right now.
You're up in the park right now.
The kids are in school, so having a good time out this way.
So now it's time to put the pressure on Lorenzo Alexander because it's always about, are you a man of chalk or do you have some, as we would say in the business, onions? Do you have the character to take somebody deep?
Time for
Lorenzo Alexander's one shining moment.
So, who is your Final Four?
I get surprised on this show all the time.
My Final Four?
Yes.
I have, who do I have in the Final Four? I have Duke Gonzaga. And then who's on the other side? I don't have my bracket memorized.
I'm going to call me
on this, and now I got to look it up. I know Aaron has it in front of her. Who's on the other side, Aaron? I mean, help me out here.
Yeah,
she just handed me your bracket. You go with Duke, Gonzaga on the left side, Virginia, yep, and Kentucky. So you got three number ones. Come on, Chalk.
Yeah. What are you talking about? I mean, at the end of the day, early on in, I think it always depends on seniorship. But once you get to those guys, they just got elite talent. So, I mean, why not?
Hey, Zoe, you know what's better than three number ones?
Four games.
You know what's better than having
four number ones?
Wolf, do you have four number ones?
Hey, that's what I did, Zoe.
Oh, my God.
Zoe, I got four number ones. I went straight, I went straight BPI on this.
Yeah, that's just the way it happens. I mean, it's going to be something like that. At least two of the three are going to get there. Or two of the four are going to get there.
He's got to. But right. I tell you, one of the things that Zoe has, here's some crazy picks. He's got 12 seed Liberty advancing in the first round over Mississippi State. He's got St. Mary's in the Sweet 16 upsetting
that's
Purdue and Nova.
Yes. Moraga, yes.
That's huge. And UC Irvine over K-State. If you care about you and I, there's the difference. I got K-State upsetting Virginia. You've got K-State out in the first round. That's where we're staring each other down.
Because some of these kids are going to show up, look at Irvine. We're going to run over them. They're just not going to be mentally prepared for the game. And that's what happens with all these upsets. They're just not mentally ready to grind.
Yeah, you know what, Zoe? Listen,
that's fun.
Any predictions on who's going number one in the NFL draft?
Oh, boy.
obviously we got to see what's going to happen. But obviously pass rusher, you talk about Nick Bosa. I think everybody's kind of wrapped their minds around him being going up that high. And obviously we don't know what trades are going to happen right now. So that always plays a significant a part of it right now as well. But I know the Cardinals, you would have a better beat than me. What are they going to do with Rosen? They have all this talk around drafting a quarterback. But if they stay where they're at, obviously liking Josh, and I think they go with another pass rusher. You bring in Sizzle to kind of groom these guys. Marcus is no longer there. You still got Chandler on the other side, but adding another great pass rush would definitely help those guys.
I'm wondering, how would you feel? You can talk about it, whether it's a Buffalo thing or your time here. This is the oddest situation ever. If the Bills just draft Josh Allen and you had to go through a whole offseason of hearing about another quarterback, how would you be feeling about Josh Rosen? If you were a Cardinal right now, how would you feel about Josh Rosen when you're wondering whether he's still your quarterback?
Hey, I've been in this business way too long. I mean, I wouldn't think nothing of it until it happened. Obviously, guys in that locker room probably have a lot of respect for what Josh does. But in this business, you can be hot one minute and gone the next. And I think a lot of guys, if you play in this league long enough, you realize that. And I've been around some teams where, even here in Buffalo, when we had Tyrod, it was always, when we getting rid of him to draft a new quarterback.
Yeah.
So he always felt, even here, that he wasn't their guy. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it just happens. It's part of the NFL, and if you want to have any longevity, you got to get some tough skin, put on your big boy, pants, and come to work, and if something changes, then you have to adjust.
That's right. Do your job, man.
Exactly.
Do your job.
I mean, that was cool of you to call in, and I'm really sorry about K-State and ASU getting a win in the first round and wrecking your whole bracket. I'm sorry about that. I want to apologize
to
a friend. Good to talk to you, Zoe.
No worries. There's no money on the line, so I'm good.
All right.
God bless,
go.
Bro.
There's Lorenzo Alexander. Yeah, thank goodness there's no money on the line. I don't think we'd do well against Zoe, Carson Palmer, Shane Doan. I think we'd struggle with that one.
Mm.
None of us here make Gambo money.
Goodness.
Thanks to Zoe for joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, or Infiniti for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next, ASU still dancing, and Zoe thinks they're done. How does Bobby Hurley feel about facing his former team? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. That's funny, Bear.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, indeed. The Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning, broadcasting high atop the bell tower of the Auction Community Studios.
We just had some fun with Lorenzo Alexander. And I admit, last night's game was big for me in my bracket. He chose Buffalo into the Elite Eight. And I had the same pick if St. John's would have beat ASU.
I see.
I like Buffalo upsetting Texas Tech, and I like Buffalo upsetting Michigan. I just have ASU beating Buffalo if ASU won. Because I like that matchup with Bobby Hurley, knowing the team well. Now, what's different about this is there's only one player on Buffalo's team that was even recruited by Bobby Hurley. And therefore, it's not like these are all these players that that can't wait to show Bobby Hurley, you shouldn't have left us or anything like that. But obviously, when you hire the assistant coach in Nate Oates, and then he gets promoted, he's running a lot of your stuff.
Yes.
That's going to be the difference in this game.
I just know for sure watching Nate Oates' teams as they really take on his, you know, his character and his personality by, you know, how hard-nosed he is and how fiery he is, and his kids play extremely hard and they have a chip on their shoulder, you know, the whole mid-major thing. I think they're tired of that, so it's going to be a heck of a game.
This is a legitimate top 25 team. You could argue they should have even been higher than a 6 seed.
You're talking about UB.
Yeah, they're a 6 seed because they're a team in the MAC, and they get blamed for their conference, but they're 100% legitimate.
You know what? Listen, I know the Devils did not play well, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Wolfley reporting. I know they didn't play well, but it really doesn't matter. Because all they did, I can't believe you're playing this. Where is the dance music? That's what I'm talking about. They're still dancing, ladies and gentlemen. That's all that matters.
This is the wrong fight song.
Baby, win. Survive in advance, Douglas. Isn't this what you say all the time? Survive in advance. Here we go. That's what I'm talking about. Busted, Bobby Hurley.
I don't want to see that.
Here we go. I mean, this is what it's all about. Yeah, who cares? They turned the ball over 21 times. It doesn't matter. Yeah, they allowed 16 offensive rebounds to St. John's. Think about that. St. John's, they don't have a guy over 6'7".
Wolf, that stat is really a problem because St. John's, one of the worst rebounding teams the Big East has to offer. And that's why, to me, it was an easy prediction to pick ASU as the team that wins that game because there was no way St. John's could keep up with him on the boards. I guarantee you, there are no people in all of college basketball.
This is where I'm typically doing the robot out there, ladies and gentlemen.
There's nothing.
All right, maybe I'm
in
not
the history
the robot,
of the Oxygen Community Studios that has ever been more distracting than watching you try to dance right now.
I can tell you right now, bad dancing is part of the Wolfley culture, ladies and gentlemen.
Clearly.
We're the Wu Fang Clan. We're excellent at getting out on the dance floor. There's just one problem. We're not good once we do. I'm sure you understand the problem.
It would have been a guarantee written in stone that if ASU gets out-rebounded by St. John's, ASU loses. St. John's is a terrible rebounding team.
Think about it.
And even though it was only one more rebound than ASU, it makes no sense for that to happen other than the stat you already gave, 21 turnovers for ASU. The catch is the way ASU started this game is what won them the game.
Yes.
I loved how we started the game and really took control of the game. And I thought our defense was very good. We mixed our defenses up some and, you know, our zone was pretty effective in the first half and played very well in the offensive end. I think 14 or 26 at halftime from the field. And so played really clean at that end of the floor. And it was nice to have that margin.
Yeah, they started really, really well. The problem was the second half. The volatility continues with this team. The Devils played so badly in stretches of this game. It was alarming.
There's one thing, though, and this is crazy. ASU fans, if you've been following the team closely, I mean, if you're like a bandwagon ASU fan, you bought a hat once, and you think that makes you a fan, congratulations. But if you're actually somebody that has actually bought a ticket and you're a real hardcore fan, there's something that's never been said. I don't remember the last time this is said. It might have been 15 years. It might have been back since the time Kyle Dodd played, but I'll say it. They won this game at the free throw line. Remember how horrible most ASU teams have been, and this year it's been terribly up and down at the free throw line, as just Cheatham and Dort alone, 15 of 19 mm-hmm. from the free throw line. They scored 25 points at the free throw line. St. John shot 56% from the free throw line. Now, I thought the game was officiated horribly, but it was very impressive that ASU kept attacking, and I thought Lou Dort had his best game as a Sun Devil. 21 points, 4 boards. I only thought there was one ridiculous Lou Dort, what are you doing, type of jump shot in this game. Lou Dort played very, very well. So I think with the limited effectiveness of Remy Martin, all Remy Martin did in this game is hit one good jumper and turn the ball over 6 times.
Yeah, no doubt.
For you to win with a limited Remy Martin and give him a little bit more rest, I think Bobby Hurley did a great job coaching of only using Remy as much as he had to and then protecting the rest of his team with a zone defense to keep them out of foul trouble. I thought that was a great coaching job.
It's just the up and down nature of this team, the volatility, it's just so amazing to behold. There were times in this game where you didn't know how they were going to score the basketball. You didn't know how they were actually going to score the basketball in that second half. They turned it over, as I said, a ridiculous 21 times. They couldn't handle the pressure, and that's something they're going to have to deal with. If, in fact, they're going to play the Bulls, they're going to be able to handle. They've got to be able to handle that pressure and bring the ball up and not turn the ball over at the rate they did.
I wonder.
And they got killed on the glass. Those are two very disconcerting things, because the one advantage you knew going in, and you've already talked about it, but it's the truth. The Devils were going to be able to control the board, isn't that right, Zylan Chief?
They're supposed to be able to. I mean, they're one of the best rebounding teams in the country. St. John's is not the worst in the country, but they're the worst in the Big East.
16 offensive boards.
Yeah, that can't happen. Now, one of the things I'm wondering, it was kind of interesting. Quite a few times, Bobby Hurley would turn around and look at his brother, the head coach of UConn, was sitting in the front row.
We're so close, and we talk so much, and I'm sure he was very familiar with our team and our players, and just getting a chance to spend time with him this afternoon a little bit, it just means everything that he took the time out.
There's a little bit of a pot calling the kettle black if Danny Hurley talks to Bobby Hurley about his sideline demeanor. Okay, a little bit of that, because sure. Danny's a nut too. But you need somebody that close to Bobby to talk to him about that technical. Because if you look at that technical foul that Bobby got called for.
Up by 15.
But maybe they? About 30 seconds left in the half, 40, so something in that neighborhood. If you just look at it in a vacuum, it's a ridiculous technical. He seriously just yelled, what did he do? What did he do? And you could read his lips, and that's all he asked was, what did he do? And like I said, in a vacuum on the surface of that one thing, that was a ridiculous technical foul for a referee to call on a coach who's asking, what did he do? But if you look at it in the grand scheme of 20 minutes of basketball, and Bobby's relentlessness against the referees time and time and time again, they had warned him so many times that then that sure. ref, the refs were sick of it. And then, so then they're not giving him any grace, because this is going to sound hilarious, and I guarantee you the ref won't admit it. He called that technical for the way Bobby looked at him, because Bobby didn't ask, hey, what did he do? He didn't have a normal conversation. It was yelling across arena sure. at a neutral site. It's one thing if you're yelling across an arena at your own park or your own ball arena because it's so loud. It wasn't that loud. And so you can imagine one guy across the arena in a reasonably quiet arena. What did he do? What did he do? What did he do? Okay, you're tired of him. You're going to tee him up. And Bobby has to understand that it is everything he did leading up to that, because there's never a time up by 15 in complete control of a game you can get a tee. And will Danny Hurley be able to tell him that?
Yeah, I've got a bold prediction for you, Basinonians. A bold prediction.
Bobby Hurley gets another technical.
If the Sun Devils allow 16 offensive boards against the Bulls, the UB Bulls, and they turn it over 21 times, they're going to get embarrassed on Friday.
That's a good point. Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf Podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf Podcast, and it's brought to you this week by Kinetico. Coming up next, what is the best argument for the Cardinals not to draft Kyler Murray? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.